But yeah, so obviously my name's Richard, and I'm married to the wonderful runner Claudia over there. Hey, normally I'm the one that's out of breath, so. but yeah, it's really great, you know, to be here and to share this word today. And it's a great series. Have you been enjoying the 1 John series, for those of you that have been through it? And yeah, it's just been really, you know, I think John, you know, he's just got such this heart for intimacy, you know, to see us brought closer in our relationship with Jesus. And so today we're going to be carrying on that 1 John series in chapter 5, verses 6 to 12. But before we go there, I want to start off with sharing a story. Those of you who heard me preach last time would have heard me say a story about my Uncle David. And well, this is like another story about him. You're going to be thinking, you've not got your own stories. But yeah, so I remember my gran and my papa telling me that when my Uncle David was a child, probably about between 8 and 10 years old, he was even had a bit of a reputation of, let's just say, he had some troubles, do you know, at that age. And they used to, this would have been about 50 years ago now, and they lived above a fish and chip shop, and they used to run the shop as well. And so they get a call from the police one day to say, oh, we've got your son David, you know, down the police station. And they had interviewed him without even adult supervision. So obviously my papa was not too pleased about that. And then so he goes and they're saying, so what's he supposed to have done? And there was multiple crimes, there was shops broken into, there was fires lit. And then they were saying, where did it happen? And the location they gave was in the same row where the fish and chip shop was. And he's like, that's weird, because I've been working here all day. I would have seen him, do you know? So anyway, they didn't understand that. So people had gave this witness statement to say it was my Uncle David, gave him the name, everything. So when they investigated it, it turned out, and they found out there was another person there who looked his exact double, no relation whatsoever, same age, everything, same color hair. So in the end, he was pleading his innocence and probably getting a clout round the ear as well at the time. But in the end, he turned out to be innocent. So it was a false witness against him. But and then so my gran says, that's it. I'm taking you to the hairdressers. I'm going to get you a different haircut. You know, you're not getting in trouble for this boy ever again. So they get the haircut, comes out of the hairdressers. Who did he bump into? The same boy that said just had the same new haircut. And then she was just like, oh, yeah. So the reason why I share that story is because it's sort of it comes into line of what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to read scripture. So 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 to 12. So this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three who testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts his testimony. Whoever does not believe God made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this is life in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Oh, Father God, I just thank you so much for your word, Lord God. And I thank you that right from the back when we see this, the fact that we in you, we have eternal life, Lord God. And I just pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would just help us to grow, grapple with some of these things, to grow deeper with you. And if we don't, at that point of having eternal life in you, Lord God, salvation in you, I just pray that you would be, that our hearts would be open to what you want to say today. In Jesus' name, amen. So yeah, so a bit of an introduction. So John was one of the apostles and one of our very close friends with Jesus as well. So he really knew Jesus personally. And he would have been about 90 when he wrote this letter. This would have been one of his last writings that he wrote. And like I said, he knew Jesus personally. He was in the, if you want to call it, the inner circle. So, and in those times, like at that time of writing this letter, just before that, there'd been a bit of a church split, because some people were believing a certain teaching that Jesus wasn't fully man and fully God. So they could believe in the fully God part, but they just couldn't believe that God could be in a human form. So they didn't believe that the Messiah could actually be human. You know, they just couldn't get the concept of that. So they were teaching, they were being a false witness, and they were saying some things about Jesus that was false, about who he was and his identity. So, and they were, and it was the early signs of what we called Gnosticism, which was in the second century. And obviously John, he had been with Jesus. He was the eyewitness account. Do you know, you hear him when he's saying the disciple that Jesus loved, you know. And it's like, because he knew Jesus so much. It's not that he was being arrogant saying, yeah, I'm his number one. But actually, it's because he knew that Jesus loved him so much. And so his identity was so solid in Jesus that he could actually say, like we could say today, I could say, oh, Richard, the disciple that Jesus loves, because he does love me. He does love me. And I know that within our hearts, and we can all say that in here today. So that's what John was really grappling with, and he just wanted people to know the true witness of who Jesus Christ was, that he was who he said he was, that he was God manifested in the flesh, that he is the Word that became flesh. Now, if we accept human testimony, now, and God's testimony is greater. Now, if you think of another human testimony, last week we had amazing weather. Everybody agree? Now, before you've seen that weather on your app or on your TV, you might have just been like, I'm just going to work this week or not doing anything special. All of a sudden, the whole nation's got the barbecues out. Everyone's buying pools. Everyone's sold out. All of a sudden, people are either off sick work or all of a sudden they've gone off for a couple of days. It's amazing that everybody just ends up with the flu or when it's roasting hot sometimes. And so you imagine the motorways for the seasides would have been packed and everything. And that's all because we believed the witness of the weatherman or woman or app or whoever it was. But we believed it, didn't we? And it was true. And a lot of the times when it's not true, we do have a whinge about that too as well, don't we? But it's true in the fact that we believe that witness, you know. And so we put our trust in humanity so much. I was thinking, I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about, me and Claudia were talking about the fair rides, you know, the fair that you go to. And we were just thinking, you know, all these young people that are manning those rides, and these are upside down roller coasters and all that stuff. And you think, they're behind these buttons, right? And you don't know what's going to happen. But you're trusting them. If we were to go and ask them the question, is it safe? Oh, yeah, we've done the health and safety checks. And we would. So we're believing, again, their witness. And then you imagine if you get stuck upside down. You know, and that happened to me and my cousin once. We were on a pirate ship, and it went upside down many years ago. And then we got stuck, right, upside down. And then we come off, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's okay, it's fixed now. And my cousin was saying, oh, should we go back on it? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And I did, like an idiot. But the fact is, like, you know, that's another form of human testimony. Like, and we do. We don't even know these people. We haven't even sat down and had a coffee with them. But yet, we're trusting our lives that when they put that bar against us, that it's locked and we're not going to fall out. Even though you could be, you know, feeling like you're moving a bit. But the fact is, we trust them. So again, we trust that human, you know, that witness, that human testimony, even when we don't even know them. And what John was saying was, like, you don't believe, you can believe what they say if you want, even though it is, you know, not true. But I was there. I was an eyewitness account. I was in Jesus' presence. I seen miracles. I was a close friend. He was one of my best friends. And if you're not going to believe me, there's even greater witnesses out there. In the water, the blood, and the spirit. So first in the water, that Jesus was without sin. He had no need at all to get baptized. He didn't need to repent and be baptized, but the fact he did, he wanted to connect and relate to us as a sinful humanity, because we need to. When we repent, we get baptized. Like Peter even said in the scripture, repent and be baptized, because that is what we did. But Jesus didn't have to do that because he didn't have no sin in him, but he did it because he wanted to come to our level. He wanted to relate to us as humans, you know, because he loves us. He loves us so much. And every step of the way, he just wants to connect with us in a personal relationship. Now, some of you in this room today might not even know Jesus, or you might not have any sort of connection with God. You might be thinking, that's crazy. How can you have a personal connection with God? But do you know the first time that I ever experienced the love of God, when that love of God just went running through my veins? Now, me as an ex-drug addict, like the first thing, and many ex-drug addicts will say the same, they've no drug on planet Earth has this feeling. And do you know what? You don't wake up and owe anybody money. You don't wake up and have a come down or anything, and it is free, but it cost Jesus. Do you know? But the fact is that we can experience that today. And do you know what? And if that wasn't even enough, then the blood that represents the sacrifice that Jesus paid for every single person in this room on that cross, when he hung himself on that cross. And do you know what? It wasn't just like, oh, I'm God, I won't feel any pain, everything's fine there. There was moments of weakness, even in the garden when he was praying before, he asked, Father, will you take this cup of suffering away from me? Jesus knew he had to pay this price because he had to deal with sin and deal with death. But the flesh part of him didn't want to because he knew the pain that was in it. But do you know what? That's because pain didn't matter to him because of the love that he has for every single person here today. And when he hung on that cross, it was real pain he went through. When they put that crown of thorns on his head, pushed even harder, and the blood was trickling down his face. When the nails got hammered into his skin, that was real pain. When he cried out in the worst way, even before he was on the cross, when they lashed him. And I don't know if some of you have seen The Passion of Christ. Now, when they made that film, they said that that wasn't even 50% of what Jesus went through, because the film would have been banned if they had seen what he went through. And see the hooks, the lashes, and the blood. And I know it sounds gory, but it's because it was gory. Because that's what he went, that's how much he cares. Now, some of you might even be going through something today, and you might be thinking, God can't forgive me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what happens once that back door's shut and nobody can see me. But do you know what? Jesus sees everything, and he still loves you so much that he took it all to the cross. You know, it doesn't matter what you did in the past. You know, Jesus has dealt with that. When he died on the cross, he didn't say up until salvation or up until you're in a better place or you've got some people around you or you're being discipled. He says, do you know what I mean? When he dealt with that over 2,000 years ago, your past, present, and future sins were nailed to that cross. All your guilt, all your shame, everything was nailed to that cross because Jesus loves you so much. And that's what he was saying here. They were testifying to that. So you had the water of the baptism, you know, and then now you had the blood, the sacrifice on the cross that Jesus paid. And you know what? Sometimes we can just go around as church. We can go to routine. We can say, I know Jesus loves me. Even communion times, we can sit and we can have a quiet moment. But do we really sit there and close our eyes and reflect and actually envision Jesus on the cross, blood pouring out? Because that's exactly what it was like, you know, when he died for us. So he was a real man with real pain, real emotions, real blood, real sweat, and real tears that was poured out for all of us, for the whole of humanity. Now, it breaks my heart to see so many people lost today because they don't know this or they won't believe it. And they will sometimes mock. They will, you know, and some of us might have done that some part in our lives or used Jesus' name in vain. Do you know? And then he's even saying, and even if that wasn't enough, the Spirit testifies from within us. Now, if we accept this salvation, this eternal life that Jesus offers us, then we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells, lives inside of us. And do you know what? That's when you just, everything just turns on. And you're just like, wow, do you know, your life changes. You might have been swearing like a trooper before. You've stopped it. Smoking stopped. All of a sudden, do you know what? Some people say, oh, but I don't want to go to church because I have to stop doing all these things. No, that's religion. That's rules and regulations. But when it's relationship, your heart changes because the Holy Spirit is there now. And he's guiding you and he's leading. The Holy Spirit isn't just some force that we can't see. The Holy Spirit is a person with real feelings that can be grieved. So when we're not in a great place, we grieve the Holy Spirit like that. You know, we can offend the Holy Spirit when we do things that is not right. But we can always come back to that part of relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants from us today. Do you know, now as he went on, do you know, when John was trying to bring it back to say, if like these people believe in this wacky stuff, like, if you believe this, then you're basically calling God a liar. Because there's testimony, you know, there's evidence after evidence of who Jesus is. And he's saying, if you do not have the Son, then you do not have life. And if you have the Son, you have life. So some of you here today, right now, maybe you're in the not have life category, which means that maybe you haven't received eternal life. Maybe you're at the point where you don't even know what that means, you know. But Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you today. There may be a few people here and you're thinking, oh, I'm not quite ready for this. It's first time in church or whatever. But do you know what? This is our eternity that is at stake, do you know? I stand here today and I don't want to, I'm not preaching a hell and fire brimstone message. But the fact is, if we don't follow Jesus, if we do not have eternal life with Jesus, we will have eternity in another destination that's not heaven. Do you know? And none of us want to be in that place. Jesus loves us so much, do you know? And he didn't, you know, if we do not take up this with Jesus, it's like a mockery of what he's did on the cross. Even as Christians, do you know, if we're hiding away stuff and saying, oh, God, I can't trust anybody with that. Or, you know, God can't forgive this. I'm just going to hide away. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I'll do online church in my closed doors on my own, do you know? And that's different if your health ailments are different for you. But I mean like people that have no connection of Christians because they don't want to be accountable because they know that stuff's not right in their heart. And Jesus is at the other side of that saying, look what I did for you. You know, look here. I did this for you, do you know, so that you can be set free from everything in your past, present, you know, and just live for the future. You know, Jesus has a plan and a purpose for every single person. Now, I don't care whether the people don't believe it yet or not. It doesn't mean it's not true. Do you know, Jesus has, and Jesus is calling, as Christians, Jesus is calling, always invites us into a deeper place. We might have eternal life, but do you know what? There's always a place to go deeper. Like John, do you know, John was that, he was that apostle of intimacy that he was sometimes called because he just wanted to, he had that close relationship with Jesus and he wants everybody to have that, do you know. And we have that invitation today. And like I said, if you haven't made that decision with Jesus, you know, when he died on that cross for you, you know, he's basically saying that, come to me, you know, cast all your burdens onto Jesus and he will, you can trust him. Do you know, he will just take that pain away. Do you know, and at the minute you might be thinking, oh, I don't trust anybody. I've got fear. I've got all these things going on. But do you know what Jesus is saying? Come, do you know, you don't have to be perfect to come to church. The reason why we're all in church is because we weren't perfect in the first place. And Jesus is the one that wants to work in us. So I remember I heard this testimony once, and somebody had a dream in America. And in the dream, there was it was an old traditional church, and they were coming in, and people were in, they were selling drugs, people were prostituting in there. There was all sort of things going on. And then this guy just said, if you do not behave, get out. It's God's house. And then God spoke to him in the dream and says, your job is to love them. My job is to change them. Bring them in and allow me to work in their lives. And that's what it is. Do you know, some people won't come into church because they say, I'm too dirty for church. And it's like that's the biggest load of rubbish that the enemy wants you to believe. Do you know, I have not heard anybody that's come in the doors of this church that have actually said, oh, do you know what? That was a load of rubbish. Do you know what you told me was a lie? And then walk back out. Every person says they walk through there, the welcome they received. The neck hairs like they were at a Glastonbury festival or something. And that euphoric feeling that they felt. And that is the presence of God. That is the Holy Spirit leaning on them. I remember an old revivalist called Finney. And he worked in a sewing factory. And he goes to a revival meeting. God's moving all over the place. The Spirit of God, so powerful. And anyway, he comes and he goes into the sewing factory. And he walks in and all the women are sewing and they're all laughing, mocking him because he's a minister, he's a Christian. So anyway, he walks down and he doesn't say anything and he just turns around and he just goes. And looks like that, a little bit of a sad face. And do you know what? The presence was so strong that actually these women just got so convicted. They burst out crying. The manager of the factory, who wasn't a Christian, said, we need to shut the factory and call a prayer meeting. And then they done that, and then the whole factory got saved. You know, and that was because, testifying of the Spirit, because that was exactly in that. And you know what? The power of God moved. You know, when I even sometimes, like some of my family members who are not Christians, sometimes I'll go and visit them, and you can just feel in your room there's a different atmosphere going on, you know, because when you bring the presence of God in a situation, the people that aren't Christians, sometimes they feel like, oh, we better get our holy cutlery out, you know, there's Christians coming today, you know, and almost like put our holy jackets on, and like we can't swear that they're here, we need to change the language. And sometimes it's hard because you feel a bit unwanted sometimes in some situations like that, because it just feels different, you know, different atmosphere. But the fact is, it's because we bring a presence in. And some of you would have heard of an old evangelist called Smith Wigglesworth. And he used to get his New Testament, and he used to go on a bus. Sometimes he would, depend on what God said, sometimes he would just read the New Testament out, and then he would sort of see what God was going to do. And then other times he would just sit down, and he wouldn't say a word. And so this one moment, I read it in one of his books, he just sat down like that, and there's a lady sitting next to him. And she didn't know him. She just says, "Excuse me, sir, and I don't really know you, but when I'm sitting next to you, all of a sudden I'm just feeling like stuff that's really bad in my life and that I really need to change them. And I'm almost feeling like a bit guilty, you know, a bit convicted by it." And then he was like, "Yeah, that'll be the Holy Spirit, you know." And then goes in. See, he didn't even have to speak, but people can feel the presence of God. You know, people that aren't even believers can sense when the Spirit of God is in the room, do you know, because they've never experienced something like that. So it's amazing. So if you here today, like I said, if you haven't made that commitment, and what we've talked about Jesus, you know, the price that he paid, the sacrifice that he paid on the cross, going through all that pain for you, I just want to give an invitation, you know, for you to say yes to Jesus, for you to an invitation to receive this eternal life, to receive this salvation. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and we're all going to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed when we do it. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and I would just, if you feel like that's for you, then just repeat the words after me. Okay. Oh Lord God, I'm so sorry for living a life that has been displeasing to you. I am so sorry if I have said false things about you. And I repent. I turn completely the opposite direction from the life that I have been living and turn to you. I believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe that you went through all that pain to set me free, and that you rose again 3 days later. And I ask you, please forgive me from all the things in my past. I thank you that I can have eternal life in you. I thank you that you can forgive my sins. I ask you, please take control of my life. I want to put you in the driving seat of my life. I ask you, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And please help me live a sold out, surrendered life to you for all of my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. And while everybody's head's bowed, and it's just me looking, if you have made that commitment just for the first time, could you just notify me just by raising your hand, just so I can see? Oh Lord Jesus, I just thank you that this stuff, this your word just never grows old, that your word still speaks 2,000 years later, Lord God. I thank you that there is power in your words, Lord God. And I just pray also for if anybody isn't in here today who is a follower of Jesus, whatever situation that is, whatever that looks like for us today, you know, Jesus is always inviting us into a deeper relationship with us. And I just feel it would be really fitting this morning, and maybe the stuff in your heart that that you just want to bring, you know, to the Lord, and you just want to spend some quiet moments. So I just want to just ask us just to bow our heads, maybe just have a couple of minutes of just time of reflection of you and the Lord, and just thinking about, you know, the price, thinking about what we talked about, what you've heard of everything that Jesus went through and the price that he paid it for every single person in this room. So that means, remember we talked about no sin, no barrier, no nothing, you know, to get in the way of you living the free life that Jesus wants for you today. And so, yeah, so maybe just take a couple of minutes of reflection, quiet reflection, and then after that we are going to go into a time of communion and just really remember the special presence of what Jesus did for us. Amen.